Hey there, loyal listeners. As you know, the Top Games podcast is made possible by Hardcore Gaming 101's Patreon supporters, who help keep this show alive by donating as little as $2 each month. If you were to join them in doing that, you would not only help keep the lights on at HG 101 Towers, you'd also get access to our super secret Patreon RSS feed, which is full of ad-free versions of this podcast with exclusive bonus game rankings. Here's a taste of what you've been missing.
Today we are doing Batman, the video game. It's the only one that was ever made.
It's nice that Batman finally got a video game, and I just wish there were more of them.
This comes from a wonderful time of movie games, I think, because it doesn't have anything to do with the movie.
Like, it gets Batman right. Like, if it were really based on the movie, like, Batman would be, like, really clumsy, really slow. He'll fall through the roof, stand there, and then a bunch of dudes will, like, take turns punching at him, and Batman will just, like, catch their punches, and, like, while standing basically motionless except for his arms, like, in this game, he moves like you think Batman's gonna move.
Go to patreon.com/HG101 and pledge a couple bucks. That's patreon.com/HG101. Act now and be a hero.
For some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source, the brain train, your knowledge, a lane maintained with a course aimed at colleges. To HG 101, we give the honor, thanks to Kirk, a lot of Xerxes to host it proper, as well as Satanga, Cal and Bobinator, Booker Hart and others discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and look, they wrote a book about it, go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease. and add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
Dog's power. Hey, dog's power. Hey, dog's power. Hey, dog's power.
I think that's obvious.
In the grim darkness of the 41st century, there is only war.
War.
Sounds like we're saying guar. It's like in the 41st century, if there's only guar.
A guar. The band?
All music is gone, except for guar.
Except for
they
guar.
They would outlast the universe.
I mean, if I could associate like any rock band with Warhammer, it'd probably be guar, I'll be honest.
Yeah, the Warhammer universe is only slightly more ridiculous than GWAR, I would say. Or less. I'm not sure which. So for this episode, we're talking about Space Hulk, which was nominated by Regulation Gaming on Stitcher. I hope this is all up to code. This game was published by Electronic Arts and developed by Electronic Arts, I guess. It was published first, we think, in Europe, but we're not sure, in 1993 for MS-DOS. And full disclosure, when I saw this game on the list, I was like, oh, I remember this game. I used to play this game when I was a kid. This is a whimsical little romp into, like, you know, it's kind of like a myth type thing. I was confusing it with Starship Titanic, which is not exactly what this game is. Starship Titanic is like a kind of like Myst-like type point-and-click CD-ROM adventure that was written, I believe, by Douglas Adams, or had Douglas Adams involved.
Can you imagine if Douglas Adams wrote a Warhammer product?
Again, I think it would only be slightly more ridiculous.
Yeah, like, the universe of these games is very, like, tongue-in-cheek about a lot.
Actually, Douglas Adams could have probably written the orcs, because the orcs in Warhammer are creatures that are created to stop some psychic influences from other races, and literally they warp reality with their thoughts.
It's a very Hitchhiker's Guide sort of.
I'm so glad we have Clay on this one.
So
I'm just
is that
say.
Okay? Yeah, who's with me on this one besides Clay? That was Clay to everybody. You'll be hearing the nerdery coming from that direction.
From
that person who knows stuff about Warhammer.
And I'm Carl, and I owned a couple of Space Marine models in about 20, 30 years ago. So, I'm an expert.
A couple of Space Marine models, too. A couple.
Yeah, well, that's not a surprise to anyone. Sorry, buddy.
Who else is here?
I'm Bob Nader.
Bob did say he was here. You're going to hear it when you when you listen to this. You'll be like, oh, okay.
Nah, I'm pretty sure I'll remember to edit this out.
The whole thing.
I'm not going to remember.
No.
So Space Hulk is not Starship Titanic. It's not important. Like a whimsical little droid who like you get to banter with or anything like that. It is about the grim darkness.
The grim darkness of the
41st century, where there is only war.
Millennium.
Sorry. Wait, yeah. 41st millennium.
It's 40,000.
Really long time away.
Why are they still wearing when did they invent spacesuits that weren't ridiculously huge?
Okay, see, because they lost all their technology. Do you not know anything?
No, Cal, I do not know anything about the Warhammer world or its things.
So, because I want to say this, there are two Warhammers. Neither of them are connected.
That's right.
Okay, but I'm just going to call it Warhammer, okay? And everybody knows I'm talking about the Space Warhammer.
Yeah, they're talking about 40K.
That's how we usually refer to it. It's 40K or Warhammer.
Yeah. The important thing, the reason I actually mentioned it is Space Hulk, the premise of Space Hulk is you are invading these abandoned Space Hulks, these giant ships, in order to basically loot them in case there's good shit in there, because these are from a period of time in the civilization of man or whatever, where they had invented a bunch of stuff and weren't at war forever. So they're like, ooh, maybe we can find some good stuff in here. So they sort of send
Joke's on them. It's all leisure materials, magazines, and other stuff that people do when they're not murdering each other 24/7.
That's 31st right. Millennium, by the way, is when these were made.
What is this? What is this Tamagotchi shit?
Hey,
you can't use
good.
This. No, you can use it. You can totally choke your enemies with it.
Well, see,
The priests on Mars would actually worship Tamagotchis. They would be able to speak to them and bless them.
Is this
Please tell me this is real.
I will totally rethink. I promise you, I am not going to make a single joke about Warhammer.
Is this totally
everything
by
I
Bondi
say?
Corporation?
Everything I say about Warhammer is 100% canon.
We get
100% serious.
Yes.
Okay, this is all my whole problem. We're gonna have, but you know what? Like, I'm gonna try really, really, really hard to take this seriously for as long as it takes to talk about it and rank it. So, what kind of game is this? I mean, what's the story of this game? So, where does this what happens? Where does this game take place?
I just gave you the story. It's pretty basic. So this game is based on a board game of the same name, which is based on the franchise of a different name. And it basically rips out the characters, the Space Marines. If you're not familiar with those, they're the Space Marines. The big
you might
bulky.
Remember them from every video game made between the years 2000 and now.
Yeah, and you've been sued by Games Workshop for using the term Space Marines unauthorizedly.
Gave it up.
That was a thing. They are entrusted with going into the Space Hulks, which are abandoned ships that sometimes have technology, sometimes have ancient, almost literally leisure material. They don't know what they're going to find. And the problem with these ships is that, is it that they're from the warp clade, or is they just... have gene stealers in them.
So Space Hulks are abandoned battleships from battles some 10,000 years ago. The Tyranids, the gene stealers, aren't from the warp. They just kind of come across these things and they take up. So they're like big floating barges that have been abandoned in the sea, except in space. So Tyranids or gene stealers are space insects.
Okay, so it sounds like this is the kind of thing that is complicated enough lore where they would explain how they could possibly find even the largest starship anybody could build in the middle of empty space.
You gotta understand, they built 11 trillion of them.
No, but you gotta understand, 11 trillion of the largest spaceships you could imagine would fill nothing in empty space.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Actually, I will say, in the Warhammer universe, or 40K, there are a lot of psychics and psychics that can read space. So that's probably where they get away with
it. Space has a mind and they can read it and be like, there's something stuck in me and stuck in such a coordinate.
40K.
So that's the warp, actually. The warp is the space's mind.
It really does exist.
Once again, not even kidding.
This is basically Xerxes. If you just started writing a universe and had to explain complete nonsense and you just made it up, and you just kept making it up for 30 years.
And it was all based on inch-tall pewter figurines.
That's right.
Okay, really quick. I'll, No, I promise it'll be really quick. So all of the lore for 40K, so to make all the rules for the games, you get these books that tell you what the armies do, and they don't hire two writers for these books. At least they didn't for a solid 20 years. They would just say, here, write all the rules, also write all the story bits. So you have game designers writing story for 30 years. It's all programmer art, essentially.
And also, don't they run magazines where they just arbitrarily invent lore and throw it out to people? Like, oh, this happens in this. And then they've wrote, like, a whole ton of books as well that are by completely different people with apparently no oversight.
Because as it goes on, people were like, wow, this is a really fun universe. I want to write fiction about this. And all the game designers are like, wait, no, stop. God, no.
And
fools.
The important thing is, now that we've completely confused you, you don't have to know literally anything to play Space Hulk. Like, literally nothing. It is a squad game where you control a squad of... Is it Terminators in this? Do you play Terminators?
Because you can't...
I thought the dudes were the Space Hulks.
No.
Yeah, I know, right? It sounds like they should be.
Because
they're
so big.
No, they don't. They're regular size for the 40K universe.
It's just in the Middle Ages, like, knights in armor wore suits of armor that were roughly the size of a dump truck, and they would just, like, lumber around because their technology was so primitive.
Incidentally...
That's not how that worked at all! Terminators
are special armor-wearing guys over Space Marines.
Their thighs of their armor are so thick that they must be legs akimbo. Every minute of their lives are just, like, walking around.
Oh, some of the cross-sections fantastic.
Now that I think about it, I don't think I've ever seen Art of the Space Marine without the armor, and now I'm kind of afraid.
Well, yeah, their legs must just be, like, two, like, weird tentacles.
They are actually, like, genetic, like, drugged-out hormone monster men. Like, mm-hmm. That is true, I believe. They don't know.
They have 27 extra organs that humans do not. Once again, not even remotely fucking kidding.
This is the greatest
they
idea.
They can breathe underwater. They can
Why?
Spit acid.
Why?
Wait, hold on. Hold
yes,
on.
Not kidding. They can spit acid.
All of them?
Well, in older lore. I don't know if they have the acid spitting
anymore. I guess
they
cleaned up all the silly stuff, right? Am I right?
Yeah, sure.
No, we're just back to the guys who can't stand straight or sit down.
Clay, while I have
their
here,
spacesuits are so big.
What were the large ones that were like box men called? You know how you'd like the chunky
those
robot
are dreadnoughts.
Dreadnoughts, right. I always get them and Terminators confused. But no, they're dreadnoughts.
Yeah, the box men are my favorites. Because you want to laugh about how Terminators have to be akimbo all the time. Dreadnoughts
they
are essentially...
Are.
You guys know the Axel from Twisted Metal, the guy on the wheels?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
the guy
essentially
who's, like,
the
really, really... Who himself is the size of a car.
Yes, the dreadnoughts.
That's the weirdest thing about that guy. Is like, he's also... They never mention it. They're like, the weird thing about Axel is that his arms and legs are fused to giant wheels. So the weird thing about Axel is that he's 12 feet tall.
Which is relevant to this game, because, yes, everything's a bit strange, but the game itself... I will talk about the games, because the game itself, the actual game... is really quite good. It's an interesting game. It's based on the board game, which has, we believe, very similar rules. Clade has kind of tried to confirm that.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on the numbers, but yeah, the broad strokes game is pretty similar.
So in that game, one player controlled Space Marines, moving them around a series of corridors and rooms in a bid to complete a singular objective or multiple objectives, like go to this room, collect this artifact, and then go here, which is your exit or elevator or teleporter. And the second player would play as the Tyranids or the Gene Stealers, as they are the only Tyranids featured, I think. And they would basically spawn monsters onto the grid, onto the corridors, and it was basically, if you played something like XCOM, or one of those kind of like squad games where you basically move around and you position your squad and they see things and shoot at them as they run at them, and you basically need to overlap and smartly move around the environment while enemies constantly come at you. It's basically that, and it makes perfect sense to put it in a video game because it's basically the same thing, but in real time, and the AI takes over for the second player, so you don't actually have a Gene Stealer player.
That's good, because it must have been hard to find those.
Oh, like, yeah. Those are the best ones. I love playing Gene Stealers.
Yeah. I mean, everyone wants to play as the monsters, because they get to, like, be like, yeah, I eat your face. kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think the humans are the real monsters in this world. So okay, so yeah. according to the intro movie,
mm-hmm. Yes.
There are two factions. There's the the Blood Angel
Dark chapter. Angels.
You tried so hard.
And then there's the Dark Angel chapter and then the Blood Wing
Death
Company. Wing.
Company.
No, yes. No, don't make me watch this again.
I played Dark Angels on the table, damn it. I know they're called the Death Wings.
Death Wing Chapter.
Okay.
Dark Angel Chapter, Death Wing Company.
Correct.
And it took me a while to get into this game because I really couldn't decide which one I wanted to be.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but all the Dark Angels are the big team. Death Wings are sort of the division. They're all
No. It's like Hufflepuff and Slytherin. It's like, which one are you? Are you Dark Angel Chapter or are you Deathwing Company?
I tell you, I'm like, Space Wolf. If you try and stop the big Space Wolf.
I eventually settled on Deathwing Company. I think they're like a little bit more like, you know, they're opinionated, but they're willing to talk over you too. And yeah. That's really, I identify with that. I mean, but Cal strikes me more as like a Dark Angel Chapter.
I hate that stupid sorting hat.
That must have been a really weird day at like the Space Marine Academy where they get out this talking hat.
You know,
Dark Angel Chapter.
I wonder how that happens.
Chaos
sometimes.
Marine, but whatever. Just stay in the company.
That would be the best sorting angel puts you. Oh, you're a Chaos Space Marine. Heretic. Daka, 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 daka.
Oh, good. He said Daka. All right. Well, so in case we haven't correctly, adequately gotten the game across it after like 15 minutes of talking about the game. I know.
Are you kidding? This is like the best time I've had listening.
Wait. Bobinator, Dark Angel Chapter or Deathwing Company? Like, which one are you?
Oh, man.
I think you're more of a Deathwing company.
Deathwing.
High five. If you guys makes you feel better, Deathwing gets jet bikes, so.
Okay, yeah.
Exactly. High five. Those in Dark Angel chapter suckers don't know what they're missing.
Besides all their jet bikes they own.
Losers.
Because all right, continue.
Okay, good. Because the actual game is a bizarrely early like survival horror game, despite the fact that you play as the bulky meat men. Because despite the massive armor that is indeed humongous, you
and
pretty much die
in its own right.
Yeah. You die pretty much instantly, always from everything from all directions. No matter there is like it does that thing where it has the in-game rules, which I believe are board game rules, where when an enemy gets close to you, they basically engage you in melee. I don't believe you can actually do anything. Yeah. Super Smash Brothers melee.
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 Melee. No, if they wanted to be melee, fist. They would put a Y in it.
Anyway, you have a power fist, but how the board game rules work is that Gene Stealers... So everybody like rolls on a 1d6. If they hit a number, they win. Gene Stealers have such a higher number to hit in melee than the Deathwing Company Terminators that in melee combat, the Gene Stealers just win most of the time.
Yes, which becomes a little bit challenging for you, the player, because basically you order your Marines around and they will constantly, and I do mean constantly, overlap each other in the square. They can't move through each other because it's a small corridor and these idiots are wearing the biggest suits of armor that they could find.
That's right.
So most of the time you basically have them in a line and then you have to kind of... you've got a whole top-down, like, squad-based ordering screen, which is really good and surprisingly functional, considering...
That's why I played the game most of the time.
It's you can't not use it. Game does have a really cool, like, GUI, where you actually have the selected Marine in one window, and then you have four other smaller... Like, it's bunch of, like, a series of computer monitors.
Yeah, it's like Five Nights at Freddy's, except you can move.
That's the weird thing. Like, I actually think the game is surprisingly similar to Five Nights at Freddy's.
It does look a lot like an FNV game, even though it kind of isn't, can't possibly be, but...
It's really cool in that way, because it actually, like, I knew about this game for a long time. I saw it at, like, a friend's house, and I saw the box, and the box is very cool. It's, like, really, like, it's just a big... Like, you know, so it's the big type of box, and the front is just like a Gene Stealer head, and it's just like...
It promises a lot of grim darkness.
Yeah, and obviously, like, I'm like 10 or whatever, I'm like, oh my god, that looks like the coolest thing that's ever existed ever. So I see this, and I just look at the back of it. We never play this game. It's just sitting in my head for ages. Like, oh, that, what the hell was that? That looked really
Space
cool.
Hulk, that Douglas Adams is delightful.
Because the whole thing is done in, like, a sort of pre-rendered 3D, and it works quite well. Like, the environments, I think, are pre-rendered 3D. The characters themselves, I think, are sprites, but they're done in that sort of very gradient look, so they look quite rounded and smooth.
If it doesn't, like, predate Donkey Kong Country, it's certainly in the same time period.
It's 93.
It also takes advantage of the fact that since they are moving through corridors, I think all the environments have that, like, rendered corridor look, like, you know,
yeah.
You
sort
of walk forward.
It's very Dungeon Master in the way you move, I would say.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it is like a dungeon crawler in a sense, right?
Yeah, it's basically a dungeon crawler where you have guns, but the enemies never stop spawning, which is an interesting sort of take on the genre. Is they basically will just keep coming in. I think they can even tear open walls and just run in at you. Like, they don't play by the rules. They just come at you. And
how do the Gene Stealers get onto the Space Hulks? Do they have their own ships?
Yes.
So, like, you. So you know they're there then, right?
Well,
do they just like drop them off and then like, all right, I'll pick you up at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, that's more it.
What are they like?
The Gene Stealers are the ones that actually, like, they're kind of literal, aren't they? They steal things.
So well, where do they steal the genes from the dead abandoned?
Steal the denim.
Yeah.
Gotta get that denim.
So they kind of changed how Gene Stealer lore works. I'm a little fuzzy on how it used to be. But what odds are is some of these Space Hulks might not even be old. Like, some of these Space Hulks could still be in operation until one day they lose complete contact of it. And then with the Gene Stealers are a little like xenomorphs. There's like, and they can, I'm sorry.
You say
I got
a little when they are just literally the alien.
Well, no, I meant the part where they like adapt and they take over parts of what they eat. No, these are these are early Gene Stealers. These are the ones that they put on places to start spreading the gene. So
they're kind of like the alien from Alien.
Yeah,
I mean the whole point exactly. Is they are the alien. Didn't they sort of like downplay these aspects of them to get them slightly away from the franchise that Fox protects quite strictly?
Yeah, they changed a lot. The Gene Stealer models look kind of the same, but like a lot of the older Tyranid models are different than how they look now.
Yeah, Space Marine Kellen Tipley was quietly escorted from the game. I think. she's not there anymore.
What's the company? There is a lady company.
The Sisters of Battle, but they don't send those girls into space like that.
They only send Deathwing or whatever into the Space Hulks. That's a thing.
I would
consider Deathwing Company to be the perfect company. I mean, not just because I'm Deathwing Company. I'm not just saying that because
I love Space Hulk, the video game.
I do think we're best equipped for the job.
Sisters of Battle tend to stay on Earth. They don't do more what's called inquisitorial work. They try to hunt out heretics on planets that the Empire already kind of controls.
Wow.
It's an interesting
grim
franchise.
And dark. So is None there anything else mechanically, connected. Like you said, can you go over like what is the proto survival horror aspect of this? Because this is one of those weird genres that we keep finding kind of prototype, you know, not prototype, but
Space Hulk is kind of like really unfairly overlooked. I don't really know why. It might just be the license attached that people saw it and went, oh, 40K.
There is no way I'm touching that. Yeah.
So I'm skipping it. It's an interesting thing, because obviously, when you think of 40K, if you see, like, anything of the franchise, it's almost always, like, the big men, or the bunch of men, and they're all just shooting their guns, and they're having a great time shooting their guns. But when you load up the game, it's, like, oppressive, but not in a grimdark way, in a, oh god, I am getting constantly, like, attacked by relatively smart AI, because the AI does some really bastardly things, like, it will run... It clearly knows where you are and what you're doing. It'll, like, run to the edge of a corner and then wait. And your map will show this red dot, and it'll be like, bing, 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 like, warning you that there's a Gene Stealer hanging out. But it'll just wait, and you can't shoot it, because you can't shoot around corners unless you have the very limited flamethrower, and you just walk there and hit it.
Or you have the Space Marine twisty gun.
Yeah, you know, it's like the, it's a pipe. Which is like just bent at
deadly serious,
degrees.
Yeah.
It so the bullet
being deadly serious, the bullets that Terminators fire are rockets.
Yes, they have those ridiculous rocket bullet guns that they invented in like the 70s
when they were like too stupid to understand bullets.
That's a real thing. You know that.
How
gun,
does the
right?
bullets work? I think the bullets propelled themselves individually.
Like, it's a really expensive like series of bullets that are like little rockets. Really cool. Totally useless.
So tell me again, Death Angel Commander. Like, why are we raiding the Space Hulks? Well, we need to get more rocket bullets. Why do we need the rocket bullets?
Because
we need them to kill the genius
dealers
that we find on the Space Hulks. Okay, it makes perfect sense to me.
If they get a rocket bullet that's 10% better than their regular rocket bullet, that's so much better. So the thing is, while it's occupying your radar and it's like bing, 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 other gene stealers can potentially run, because the map is like a, you know, it's got several interconnecting corridors all over the place. They'll try and run around you, and your space marines are very stupid. They are incredibly stupid. They can't hear anything because their armor is so thick. So if there's an enemy running behind them, they won't turn around and shoot it. They will stand there and get eaten alive, and the one who's in front of them will stand there and get eaten alive, and so on and so forth. So
yeah, that's the problem with those extra 27 organs. It's like, they're like, we need a new organ that can finally get rid of the piss shivers once and for all. Well, let's get rid of the ears. That will make some space.
This is the thing, is it's a game where you constantly have to be paying attention to the whole map, and it does give you a map that it fills in as you move through the level. Like, it's actually got an order map too. It's got that kind of thing going on. So,
and is it turn based, or is it like kind of quasi turn based?
I'm glad you asked, because it is quasi turn based. Because you can pause at any time. It's actually a really neat solution to a problem, which is the board game is obviously turn based. I mean, that's
right. That's what I was asking. Yeah,
real time board games are really tricky.
I have, like, one real-time board game. It's pretty cool. Actually, I got two, but like, anyway.
Actually, yeah, that's a question. How does the board game work?
It's
board game
actually,
is just turns.
Yeah, okay. The board game is turns. Going back to the turning around thing, so in the board game of Space Hulk, every turn is a point of movement. So you can either move forward or you can turn. That's how heavy and clunky this armor is.
It makes sense. It would be, like, a long procedure to, like, kind of... It's like probably like watching like a two-legged rhino turn around, just like kind of
interestingly,
very slowly
the game
like
itself,
back and forth until they kind of do an about face. Yeah.
The game itself does let you turn pretty quick, but it doesn't matter because the gene stealers are very fast. So even though you can turn quickly, if there is one literally behind you, you are dead. You will roll your melee or whatever attack if you're facing them.
Melee.
If they're behind you, it's an instant death. And you are an omnipresent controller in this, so you don't actually, you're just kind of like, you're possessing the Space Marines, you're given orders, there's no you character.
Because they get three dice, actually, if they hit you in the board game, so.
So
I definitely understood that reference.
You actually can pause the game, that's the thing. And the game will basically give you active pause, where you can smack the pause button, and you absolutely need to do this. And this will pause the game, everything will freeze, and you can now go into the map screen, and you can actually move all of your Terminators at once. You can say, walk here, this guy go here, you walk here. You can even, I believe, order them to go to a room and shoot. And they will do an overwatch. They will try and spot enemies as they move and shoot at them, so they're not reliant on you selecting them and making them shoot.
Yeah, this does sound oddly like a dungeon crawler version of the original XCOM in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and... it's really good like that, because you get under a lot of pressure, because your active pause is absolutely pivotal to not dying, but it recharges slowly. So you kind of are constantly under this interesting pressure where you're like, I've got to make choices, I've got to move my units, because I need to get to here. The gene stealers are there, but I don't know where else they are, because they don't show you where they are unless you've got sight of them, or they're moving on your like map and you've got like a unit there kind of deal. So you're constantly pausing the game, doling out orders as quick as you can, and then unpausing so that you can get that time back. But you end up, like, making mistakes. You'll end up ordering a unit to walk through another unit, and then be like, I can't do that because we're giants. And they will. They'll just wait.
Space Hulks, sir. We're Space Hulks!
And if you do something stupid, like order a flamethrower guy to fire his flamethrower, and there's another guy in the path of the flamethrower...
That's the best.
Rip that guy. They're all dead. And they will sound out, which is actually one of my favorite things about the game, is they, even at this early stage, like 93, they will actually do things like, Gene Steelers engaged, and like, they'll say things.
They'll say stuff like a Dark Angel chapter.
That is in there. Although
Death
I do
Angel.
Love
Death
a lot
Wing
because
Company.
The game is, I believe, made in England. So everyone has an English accent, which is very funny to me. Because they all just sound kind of poncy, which is...
Yes. That's the
I'd say that's appropriate, really.
I mean, why wouldn't they? Like, there's no reason why they can't have a little bit of class, these space hulks. Maybe they're all like that one boxer from Street Fighter 3. You know, they're like gigantic, but they've got culture.
I do like the game. I find the interface a little bit clunkier.
Yeah,
it's a 93
that's my
game.
Big problem with it. It's a really good adaptation of the board game, but man, it's so much harder to play this game sometimes than just moving the plastic around the board.
But it does do a really interesting thing where they didn't have to, but they actually included things like a lot of environmental sounds. There's lots of look, you've seen Alien. It's basically stolen from Alien. You know, you've got, you know, piping and stuff that's partially broken. So it's like, psh, psh, and there's like clanks and clangs and, you know, all that stuff. That's like, oh, crap, is there actually a gene stealer around here? And it gets you on edge constantly, which I think is impressive because there aren't many survival horror or horror games or like intense pressure games in general where ostensibly you're basically like six or seven guys heavily armed with like super machine guns and you're like, oh god, oh god, oh god, am I gonna die in the next 2 seconds? Probably. Like, it's an interesting like
it
pressure.
It kind of makes you wonder why they bothered to put them in the giant spacesuits. Like,
that
for
is
the game.
A
like,
question.
You could, you don't have to do it. You could just have them be regular space marines. Not like comically huge space marines.
Space marine suits can't breathe in space. The Terminator armor can withstand space.
They just have no spacesuits in the 40K universe, apparently.
No, they do. They're called Terminator suits.
They're too big. Get a spacesuit. It's not that hard. Send the
yeah, spacesuits can be made out of they can be made out of
Buzz
Aldrin
really
lightweight
with a chain
material.
Gun would be amazing, but
Buzz Aldrin's chain gun in space.
So he did that anything else we want to mention before we rank this? And
the only thing I
want to
mention
that-
is I do want to mention one thing, and that's that the person that nominated this Regulation Gamer actually did a write up themselves on their on their site. For Space Hulk, and they really like Space Hulk, and they've talked quite a bit about what Space Hulk does.
The name sounded so familiar, and I couldn't remember why, but I've seen that website. I didn't see this article, but I've seen that.
Yeah, so if for some reason you think that this has not been a really in-depth discussion of Space Hulk and what it does, feel free to read their blog, because it's a great discussion or conversation about Space Hulk without the as much comedy. Good game, but it does actually piss me off a lot, because it can get really annoying.
Yes, the UI in this game is... Eh.
The UI is not that great, but, like, mechanically, it seems like it's a pretty well done... Like, I personally like this kind of thing better than, a lot of dungeon crawlers from the same time period.
It's really interesting. I'm mostly spoiled because I really like the game's sequel, which runs slightly more in real time, it's called Space Hulk Vengeance of the Blood Angels, so now you got the Blood Angels in there.
The Blood Angels are related to the Death... Wing chapter,
they're
or are they
all
related
related
to Dark
they're
Angel? Dark Angel chapter, Deathwing Company.
That's them. That game lets you gives you like a cool little quick time event sort of thing when you're fighting a gene stealer. So you like have like a parry button and you have a stab button.
That's missing from this game.
That makes it more worthwhile, because in this game, you almost never actually want to look at the cool screen with all of the cameras and all the interface, because you really want to be in the map. You really want to be looking at that map, seeing where all of your units are, where they need to go, where the possible gene stealers are. You're buried in that map
a lot of the
time. You'll be
dead if you're not, if your eyes aren't glued to that map. Your game will not last long.
The big difference with the newer versions. I forgot about that. This game doesn't have the parry and stuff that the board game does.
The idea of these people parrying in those giant suits is pretty funny. They must mean like SWAT, like fruitlessly, just like,
literally looks like that. Their hand just kind of like grazes the like,
The funniest thing is, like, what if they drop one of their guns? They can't possibly reach down to pick it up. There's no way.
Can jam in this. That must be what they don't. The guns aren't jamming. They're just not willing to admit the gun slipped out of the hand. And they're like,
the gun is jammed, sir.
I'm bending. Jammed.
Dropped it. It's probably like the Mongols or something, where it's like if the Mongol leader like falls off his horse and they like he's no longer fit to lead, and it's like if your space marine drops your gun, you're no longer fit to be a space marine. Where do we want to rank this?
It is pretty dang solid, and it's an interesting game, and I recommend either this one or its sequel as one that you should definitely play if you haven't played any of them. I have not played the more recent games, because there's been quite a few Space Hulks.
Is this one of those games where you need to keep its sequel in mind before you rank it?
Nah.
Not exactly.
It sounds like the sequel's different enough. Yeah, this one's more board game related, right?
And that's kind of the thing. Is more of a game. This one is more of an adaptation of the board game that works as a game.
Adaptation. Did you learn English from kangaroos? What is wrong with you?
Yes!
Melee,
you know, we can just speak different. We have different words.
Adaption? We cut out several of the letters. It's more efficient down here, yeah?
It is! Oh, you should appreciate that, Mr. Color.
Okay, all right.
I removed the vowels from my words for efficiency.
Yes, we do. We do that.
I think it's... I gotta say, like, you know, if you're gonna put it somewhere in the range of, like, things... I'm looking around here, you know, in the... At the moment, I'm in the upper 200s that I'm just kind of looking at.
Okay.
Because, like, I mean, I'm not, like, super, super upper, but, you know, compared to somewhere around, like, something like Rampart.
Oh, like, Rampart kicks this thing's ass. But I will say, like, the best thing I can say about this game to sell it is that, although no witty Douglas Adams repartee,
okay.
It made me want to play the board game. And that's the weird thing is, because this is the kind of board game I would never touch normally.
The board game is... Well, so really quick, I kind of wanted to wrap this up. The board game is actually what kind of brought 40K to the forefront over its big brother, Warhammer. Like, people played Warhammer, but... Or people played 40K, but this
even
game...
Even you can't keep them straight.
But this one is like... Because this one was big in America. It was published originally by Milton Bradley. So
yeah, the board game cuts out a lot of cruft of like Warhammer 40K by being a, you know, the rules can fit on a page or two. Yeah,
the good thing is that they narrowed your choices down to Dark Angel Chapter.
I'm gonna fucking
or
cut him.
Deathwing.
I think you play Satyrion. Anyway, we gotta put it somewhere. Bob, right, are you gonna rank it, so, or are you just gonna?
Clay's gonna go into cold sweat here because he's gonna have to choose between this game and Third Strike.
You know what?
You know, I support this pointless choice that we're giving to him, so go ahead.
You know what? I've always been more of a 40K man than a Street Fighter man.
Oh!
Oh, unexpected.
You know why? Street Fighter has too much whimsy. You gotta get rid of that stuff.
I am a big
fan
of
much whimsy
in the Grimdark.
You just gotta roll with it. It's like, it's a satire of, I don't know, something.
What?
Anyway,
so it's a satire of 80s
and what exactly?
Thatcher policy.
It's not wrong.
So are we putting it above Third Strike?
No, we're not. No, that's ridiculous. That's crazy talk. All right.
I'm doing it.
No, that's just two. All right.
I'm good with it.
Well, that's
what? What?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's three.
Look, as the guy who probably talks Street Fighter 3 down to where it is right now. All right, I got to stand up for it because I've been playing a lot of it lately because I just got the Street Fighter collection, the Digital Eclipse thing. And like I trashed the character design and stuff in Street Fighter 3 as being the kind of thing that holds it back. Cause it's not as interesting as the, this will be for people who've been listening since like 2016 or something, but you may remember that's what I was talking about. And I stand by that, but there's the better designed stuff, the better designed characters in there than I thought. Whereas, you know, in the gameplay is actually really good for, like, it's a complicated fighting game, but I'm like a total, like, novice, noob, whatever. That's probably obscene.
Scrub.
Yeah. Scrub. There you go. I'm like one level above Scrub where I can do the moves at least.
Ah, Clade.
Okay. I'm a Clade. The okay
oh,
Clade.
No,
yeah. No, but I mean, but it's enjoyable and it's like, I get the appeal of it a little bit more now. Even though I still think that a lot of the characters are not that great, except for their gigantic feet, which I still love.
So let me give you my settlement here. I think this is the better Order Idiots Around game than Lemmings, and that's 233.
Again, you're this very anti-whimsy thing going on here. Like,
oh yeah,
is,
but
you're all
they make a
lot
of
whimsical
games. Dark as hell. They get just brutalized.
Have you seen the traps of the Lemmings? Like, they
oh,
get
oh,
like
rip
super
its head
gory.
Off
no, but it's funny. These are due to literally if they cracked a smile, the top half of their head would fall off. They cannot. I don't know. Look, It's hard for me because I like the gameplay aspects of this, and admitting that there's something good about Warhammer 40,000 is really hard for me because I spent my entire life mocking this silly game, and there's something redeeming about it. So I'll stand for it. How high do you want it to go then?
Well, honestly, this is a lot lower than I was thinking after Cal praised it to hell and back. So,
I mean, as I said, like, I'm happy to put it somewhere below Third Strike. I'm happy about that.
I thought you guys were going to put it above Third Strike.
Well, we were going to try. Like,
233. Are you even looking at your own list?
No, I'm not.
Ah, that's the new mistake.
It's all in my mind, and my mind is the most accurate list. That's the real list.
Yeah,
that's why I keep 233 in a couple slash places Xerxes below brain. Third Strike. Don't go to
404. Cannot be found.
Yeah. Oh, good one. Good one. Okay.
I think this is a good zone for it, to be honest. I mean,
all right. Can somebody make a case for pinpointing it in that zone? And I'll accept.
So the main thing, how we've been talking about it, is that it is an underappreciated midpoint of, like, survival horror. I always like survival horror.
It's a really good adaptation of a board game for 1993, because I own a lot of board game, war game adaptations in DOS, and boy, that's a complete coin flip on some of those. You get real trash, you get really good ones, and Space Hulk is definitely in the really good ones.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I think the reason why survival horror stuff impresses us so much when you see earlier examples of it is because there's actually so many different ways you can do survival horror. You know what I mean? Like, because the whole idea is that it's less a gameplay mechanic and more like a concept or a feeling that permeates the gameplay. It's not a power fantasy, and yet it's something that video games are uniquely situated to do. Okay.
We'll also mention you've used the golden phrase power fantasy. To me, it's absolutely insane that they made a 40K game and successfully made one that is not a power fantasy.
Yeah, it's the exact opposite. Yeah. It makes you feel as helpless as a man in a, like, 26-ton space.
Yeah, you're a man in a tin can, and you're going to be, I don't know, can opened.
Am I walking in my tin can? All right, where do we want to put the, where exactly?
Is it scarier than Silent Hill 4? Because we got that right there, 234. If we're going to talk about scary.
Like, you're like, sort of, bang for your buck. You get scared quicker. You get, like, it's a different kind of horror. It's not the,
Oh, okay, I just figured you have to wrap up.
Silent Hill 4 is... But I don't like that Silent Hill 4 makes you run around the whole game twice. That bothered the hell.
So this goes above Silent Hill 4. Does it go above Lemmings?
No. Lemmings is Lemmings. Come on.
Yeah, Lemmings is like a cultural... was a cultural icon.
Like, it's also a thing that's kind of disappearing. Like, people...
No, you capitulate! Actually, we do have to capitulate. We have to capitulate.
That's where it goes. So, that's where it goes. Starship Titanic, right? I did it again.
I think it's Spaceship Warlock.
Spaceship Warlock. So many great titles. But
The Love Boat between Lemmings and Silent Hill 4.
Yeah, that's where it goes. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And also, we're very, very sorry. That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our booking agent, Jeff Rude, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter, Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101. I know, I did. By subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GC9X and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HD Discord. But most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real. We'll be right back. In the grim darkness of the 41st century, there is only war.
Wait, that's. We want to do that again.